Good morning, Sower Nation. It is Sunday, February 15th, in the year of our Lord 2026. I am Andrew Forrest, and this is your wake-up call. Well, everybody, I hope you're going to have a great Sunday morning. It's the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, the best day of the week. And I hope you got a church you're looking forward to going to today. I'm looking forward to going to my church. I am the senior pastor at Asbury Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And we have three services this morning, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, and 11 o'clock. 9 and 11 are live streamed, and I look forward to it every single week, although I also get a little stressed about it every week as well. But the two things go together. Our 8 o'clock service is in our chapel, and I have to leave right after I preach and then hustle over to our sanctuary to get ready at 9 o'clock and then 11 o'clock. So it's a full morning. It goes quick, but it's good, and I'm looking forward to it. And I never, ever, ever, as I've said on here before, ever want to take a Sunday morning for granted, you know? And for me personally, having lived through the pandemic, I've been unable for a while to have folks come together for church. I like resolved, never, ever, ever again will I waste an opportunity. So I hope that you have the same sense of urgency and delight in church today, and hope the Lord speaks to you. I also should tell you, though, this morning that I am the author of this book, Love Goes First, and the reason I'm bringing this up to you is because we do have a seedbed video course on the book that's going to be launching in March. It's live from Tulsa. It's Love Goes First. It'll be on the 9th, 16th, and 23rd of March with a bonus section on the 30th. So if you go to Seedbed's website and just type in Love Goes First, you'll see my book, but you'll also see this video course. This is going to be fun. I'm really looking forward to it. So spread the word, maybe do it with a group or something like that. In the meantime, we're here to talk about the very last paragraph of the book of Exodus. So wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. Praying in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our scripture reading is the very last paragraph of Exodus. A scripture reading for the day is Exodus 40, 34 to 38. Hear now the word of the Lord. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting, because the cloud settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the people of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and fire was in it by night, in the sight of all of the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. The word of the Lord. So why can't Moses go into the tent? Today we reach the end of the book of Exodus, if you can believe it. And there's not a neat bow on the narrative here. Rather, there is a major outstanding item that needs to be addressed. Exodus begins with the children of Israel enslaved in Egypt. There is the basket and the bulrushes and the burning bush and the battle between the Lord and Pharaoh. There's the parting of the Red Sea and the journey to Mount Sinai. In these chapters, God is taking the people out of Egypt. And then from Mount Sinai on, in the latter half of Exodus, which we have been studying, God begins the process of taking Egypt out of the people. At Mount Sinai, the Lord makes a covenant with them and gives them the Ten Commandments so they will know how to live. Then there are other laws regarding how they ought to interact with other people and instructions for the building of the tabernacle and how to properly worship. In the sad episode of the golden calf, the people have their own rebellion and their fall story, but the Lord remains committed to them, and the tabernacle is eventually constructed according to plan. And then, in the very last paragraph of the book, we read that the glory of God comes and dwells in the tabernacle. And, did you catch this? Moses is unable to enter its confines. The entire purpose of the tabernacle was to give Israel access to the life of God, but now even Moses is unable to draw near. Why? Because of the sin of the people. The next book of the Bible, which is Leviticus, will begin to explain how atonement can be made for sin and how it can be covered over. And that story ultimately culminates in the cross. See, sinful humanity cannot exist in the presence of God, but God does not give up on his desire to share his divine eternal life with his human creatures. And so Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice to which all other sacrifices point, and his life permanently breaks the power of sin and death, which has held humanity enslaved since the Garden of Eden. Today is Sunday, the Lord's Day, and on it we will gather for worship. In my church, we will close our services today with Holy Communion. And as part of the liturgy, we will confess our sins, and then we will hear the amazing words. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, which proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. And then we will say it one to each other. And then we will draw near and meet with the Lord with the breaking of bread and the sharing of the wine. See, Exodus teaches us that humanity left to itself is exiled from the presence of God. But thanks be to God, through trust in Jesus, we are brought back into the divine life and can share in it. And even when we die, we will be raised again. So today, think about what a privilege it is to be able to enter into the presence of God and receive eternal life. Thanks be to God. And so, Lord, thank you for the life you offer through Jesus. Give us the grace to be mindful of the cost of salvation, a cost that we did not have to pay. Help us to delight in your presence today, Lord, and give us a taste today of the eternal life that you promised all who approach you in faith. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I have a few journal prompts here to just get you thinking. Number one, why can't Moses enter the tabernacle once the glory of God descends upon it? Number two, what would happen if sinful humanity were actually able to receive eternal life while remaining in sin? What kind of existence and what kind of world would result? Three, right where you are reading this, you can, through faith, come into the presence of God. What's stopping you from doing that? So we have come to the end of the book of Exodus. We've been looking at how God first takes people out of Egypt, okay? And then the part we've been looking at closely is, well, how does God take Egypt out of the people? And as Exodus ends with this like open-ended ending, the story is not concluded. It's the whole rest of the scripture pointing us to the glorious culmination of history. Tomorrow, we're going to begin looking at the book of Leviticus, which again is probably not anybody's favorite, but it is worth reading if you have a reliable guide. And I hope at least for a little bit to be that sort of guide and share with you some of the things that I've been learning and finding really helpful and interesting. Today, we will sing Be Thou My Vision, another one of my favorite hymns, the beautiful Celtic melody. This is hymn 49. In the Seedbed Hymnal, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Hymn 49, Be Thou My Vision. Be Thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Naught be all else to me save that Thou art. Thou my best thought by day or by night, waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Verse 2, be thou my wisdom and thou my true word. I ever with thee and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, and I thy true Son, Thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise, Thou mine inheritance now and always. Thou and thou only first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure thou art. Last one. High King of heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all. Great hymn. I want to point out to you that third verse there that says, the second verse, the second half of it, thou my great father, I thy true son, thou in me dwelling and I with thee one. Okay, so that's not talking about like gendered humanity that like men can say, oh, Lord, I'm your son, and women can't. It's talking about the relationship of the Father and the Son. So Jesus, the Son, brings us into the relationship he has with the Father through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Father pours out on us the life and the Spirit and the love he has given the Son. And so what that second verse is talking about is being brought into that relationship. That's ultimately God's desire, to bring us into the heart of his design, divine love, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I mean, it is amazing, and I pray that you experience some tangible reminder and taste of the love of the Father given to the Son in the strength of the Spirit today. Well, friends, for The Awakening, I'm Andrew Forrest, and I'll see you on the field.